This morning, I'd like you to turn to a couple passages in the Bible, would you please? The first one is Romans 15. Would you turn to Romans 15 in your Bibles, please? And when you get to Romans 15, I don't know the page number for that one in the Pew Bible. But when you, pardon me? 1125. In the Pew Bible, it's page 1125. When you get to Romans 15, that's page 1125 in the Pew Bible, just put a marker there and save that page, and then turn to another passage in Colossians 3, please. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, if you're using the Pew Bible, is page 1167. Colossians 3. Look at Colossians 3, verse 16 with me, would you? Here's what it says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. I want to introduce you to a word that you don't know this morning. The word is mathetes. Mathetes. You don't know it because we don't speak Greek. It's a Greek word. It's a word that appears often in the New Testament. It's a word that means pupil or learner or disciple. And that's what we know the word as. We know it as disciple. They recall this, these 12 that Jesus had chosen and the others who followed him, because they were learning. Jesus was teaching and they were learning. But it wasn't a matter of simply learning knowledge. They were learning how to live. And they were called disciples because it's not simply an intellectual exercise. They learned and obeyed. They're called followers. We are followers of this Jesus. We follow his teaching, and that means we obey him. Now, this word, mathetes, or disciple, applies to you. We are disciples. If you believe in Christ, if you're a believer, you are a disciple. And I want us to think about what that means. Jesus sent his disciples out to be disciple makers. And that is exactly true of all of us. All of us are disciples, that is, learners, learning to follow Jesus' teaching and live the life that he tells us to live. And we are also called to be disciple makers. You know, if we are disciples, that is, learners, the latest Pew Research Forum concerns us a little bit. Have you been following this in the news? It was a test of religious knowledge, and atheists and agnostics scored higher in religious knowledge than evangelical Christians did. Actually, the order it was, atheists and agnostics scored highest, then Jews and Mormons, then evangelicals, then mainline Christians, and I'm not sure if it was Catholics next or mainline Christians. That ought to concern us. It is, however, a quiz about religious knowledge in general. Some of the questions are not about Christianity at all. A number of the questions, however, were Bible questions. Not difficult Bible questions, like questions like, what's the first book of the Bible? Who is the leader associated with the Exodus from Egypt? Those kinds of questions. And we do have, unfortunately, a lot of indicators that knowledge of our faith, knowledge of the scriptures in the churches is going down. If we are disciples, if we're followers of Christ, learners, pupils, we want to be constantly growing in our faith and in our knowledge of what he calls us to be and calls us to do. One of the ways that we show our love to one another, or the love that we are concerned about in growing, increasing love and overflowing love, is by helping each other grow. When I think about this theme that we have, love increasing and overflowing, that's our theme for this whole year, love increasing and overflowing. One of the things that I do is I look at the New Testament teaching and I notice this expression, one another. There's a particular Greek word behind that expression. Sometimes it's translated one another. Sometimes it's translated each other. And if we look at those expressions, they give a great deal of guidance to us about what it means to love each other. That's what we're going to be doing in the weeks ahead. We're going to be looking at some of those passages that talk about one another. They'll guide us in our understanding of the meaning of love. Last week we learned that love is action. Love is not something you feel. Love is something you do. This week we're going to see that love means helping one another grow spiritually. Look at our text. Look at Colossians 3:16. Here's what it says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Now, there's our expression, one another. You see that? There are a lot of passages that give us, that teach us how we're to relate to one another. There it is in this passage. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And we're only going to focus on the first sentence. We're not going to focus on the singing and the making music, making melody in our hearts, but on that teaching one another. This passage is teaching that it is our responsibility to help each other grow. That it is our responsibility to teach and admonish one another. Now, you say to me, wait a minute. I don't have the gift of teaching. I'm not a teacher. That's for the teachers in the church. That's for the leaders in the church to teach and admonish us. Matter of fact, Pastor, that's your job. We try to foist your job off onto us. I want you to see that that is not true, that it's all of our task to teach and admonish one another, to speak the word of God into each other's lives. Look back at the other passage. Look back at Romans 15. Keep your finger in Colossians 3. We're going to come right back there. But look at Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 14, Paul writes, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Now there's that word, that expression, one another again. And he says, I'm sure that you are competent to instruct one another. Now I wanted you to think about this passage. Paul had never been to Rome. He's never met these people. He's writing them in hopes of getting to Rome, and he intends to visit them. He's never been to this church. Yet, Paul writes, verse 14, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Paul knows that this church, the gospel has come to this church. They have the gospel, the good news of the death and the resurrection of the Son of God that brings eternal life to all who believe in him. They have that message, the message of the gospel. He knows that. He knows, therefore, that they have received the Holy Spirit and they have received the gifts of the Spirit. And so even though he hasn't met them, he knows that Christ is there and he can write this. Now I ask you, is Paul addressing in verse 14 only the leaders or only the pastors or the teachers? Notice what it says. He's addressing the whole church. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that all of you are, you're full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. So Paul is saying that we should, that we need to recognize that all of us, we're all disciples, aren't we? Aren't we followers of Jesus? We are therefore competent. We are equipped by the Spirit to help one another grow. Matter of fact, this last week in our home group, one of the questions we asked one another was to sort of look back at your life and think about people who most influenced your spiritual growth. Now, in some cases, Christian leaders were mentioned, but in other cases, the people who most helped me grow were just common folks in the church who lived their faith. And by their living and by their lives and the things that they did, they showed what it means to be a Christian, to be a Christ follower. And that was the most important influence in the life. It's very important to see that. In my own life, I think about people like Vern McGinnis or Jim Ostel or Wally Fetter, you know, regular guys in my home church when I was a teenager who lived for Christ and helped me to know what it means to be a Christian and a follower of Christ. What I want us to see is that this is for all of us. That's one of the meanings of this expression, one another. Now let's go back to Colossians 3. What Paul writes in Colossians 3 is not for pastors or for teachers. It's about the whole church. If you look at the context, look at verse 12 in Colossians 3. He writes, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion," and so on and so forth. He's addressing the entire church body. So in verse 16, when he indicates that we are to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, he is addressing us as disciples. That's what disciples do. The word of Christ is extremely significant. This is our master. He is our Lord. He teaches us how to live. We allow his word to live in us, live in the church, and to live in our lives. And we recognize the importance of teaching and admonishing one another. What I want us to see is that this is a critical way, one of the ways that we express love. I mean, we are making it our goal, love increasing and overflowing. What does that mean? The word love. What form does it take? How do we express it? How does it become concrete among us? There are many ways. We're going to be looking at many of them in the weeks ahead, but this is one way. To allow the word of Christ to dwell in us and to teach and admonish one another, to help one another grow. I love you by helping you grow. You love me by helping me grow. We help one another. This is a one another passage. And it's very important that we see that. This is for all of us. We are all to teach and admonish one another. Now, what does this look like? I mean, one way it takes simple, concrete form is to simply read the Bible together. To read the Bible, to pray about it, to talk about its meaning. I mean, if the Word of Christ lives in us richly, we are engaged in the process of personalizing it, internalizing it. Those are good verbs, personalize and internalize the Word of God. And we can help one another grow by simply reading the Bible and talking about it together. Now, one of the first places to do this is simply in our homes. Husbands and wives can read the Bible together, talk about its meaning and its application to life. Parents and children, we read the Bible together and talk about its meaning. And we're speaking the Word of God into one another's lives, and in that way, helping each other grow and expressing love. This last week, I read about a young man who came home with a lot of enthusiasm to his father and said, "Dad, I've finally gotten a part. I'm in my first play. I'm going to be playing the part of a man who's been married for 25 years. his dad said, "Great, son, keep at it. Eventually you'll get a speaking part." Husbands, we do have a speaking part. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another." I'm simply saying that this is our responsibility to one another in the church. And one of the best ways to start, to get some practice, to learn how to do this, is at home. Read the Bible and talk to each other about its meaning. And this text teaches us that we are all responsible to do this in one another's lives. You know, there are times when people send me a note, and maybe it's in a time of need. The person knows about a need in my life, and it's good when they remind me of Scripture, the promises of God. They're speaking the Word of God into my life. I need it. We all need it. And that's what Paul is calling us to be here and to do. Now, let me show it to you another passage. In 1 Thessalonians, we read these words. 1 Thessalonians 5, "Therefore," notice we're always seeing this expression, "one another. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Now, this particular sentence, and notice the expression, "build each other up." This sentence is particularly important because 1 Thessalonians was written to Christians who had only been believers for a few months, not yet a year. They're brand new believers. Paul had only been there a short time, three to five weeks, had been run out by Jewish persecutors, and the church is in the midst of persecution are going on. And Paul writes back. 1 Thessalonians is a letter to them. But already, brand new Christians, he's urging them to encourage one another, to build each other up. This is not something that we can say, well, this is someone else's job. This is for every believer to allow the Word of Christ to live in the church and in our hearts and to speak the Word of God into each other's lives, help each other grow, and in that way express our love for one another. We can help each other grow in Christian convictions, in Christian character, and in Christian competencies. CB pastors have just read a book entitled The Trellis and the Vine, and some of this material is coming out of that book. It's an excellent book. We can help each other grow in convictions, in character, and in competencies. I mean, we need to help each other understand our faith and grow in understanding the Bible and what we believe. That's Christian convictions. We can also help each other grow in Christian character. Obviously, you know, this is not just holding lectures. We're not just talking about imparting knowledge. We're talking about growing as followers of Christ. And a huge part of that is growth in character. And this is accomplished through example. Paul wrote, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." We instruct one another and help each other to grow in terms of Christian character through our example for one another. Mentoring one another is like parenting. You know, it's more caught than taught. Our children are impacted by our lives. Barbara has been one of my greatest teachers in prayer. And it's not that she has given me lectures on prayer. We just pray together. And as we pray together, I have, through the years, I've learned a great deal about prayer from my wife. And it would not be at all difficult. I could name all kinds of mentors right here in this room. People who set an example of sacrifice and service. Sometimes, even though you may try to hide it, I know about hours and hours and hours you spend in serving others and in giving and sharing and loving and helping. There's all kinds of mentors right here. And that's part of what Paul is telling us to do in Colossians 3:16. When we teach and admonish one another, one of the principal ways we teach is through the impact of our example. It's not only that. I mean, I don't think we can say, I can't speak, but I can live. We should do both. We should speak the word of God into each other's lives. And we can help each other grow in Christian competencies, that is, simply skills. One of the skills we need to grow in is our ability to just speak the word of God into each other's lives. When I was a young man, a college student, about 150 years ago, I was in college, and I was hired. Our senior pastor of our home church was Gordon MacDonald. And Gordon hired me as a part-time assistant. And one of the things, I mean, Gordon taught me a lot of things, but one of the things that Gordon, he just took me on hospital visitation with him. This was back when people stayed in hospitals. You know, now we're in the hospital and we're gone in 23 hours, many times. But back then, people stayed in hospitals for a week at a time. And so we went on hospital visitation, and Gordon took me with him. And I just observed. And I saw how he could be there not long. I mean, you don't want to be a burden to the patient. You weren't there very long, but you listened to the progress. You asked questions and helped the person talk about how things were going. But you also brought encouragement and the word of God and prayer and faith in the Lord. And then you leave. And I learned that skill just by observing it. And we need to see that same thing at work among us. We need to see it as a way of loving each other, to help one another grow by teaching and admonishing one another. Isn't this exactly what Jesus did? Jesus had 12 disciples. He sent them out to be disciple makers. They were with him. They heard his teaching. They saw his work with people, and they caught his ministry and spread it to others. This is exactly what Paul did. He took Timothy, he took Silas, he took Titus, he took partners along with him, and they learned from his teaching as well as his example. They learned Christian convictions, Christian character, and Christian competencies, and that's what we're called to do. The point of what I should quote one more passage, and that is this one. Paul writes to Timothy, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life." Notice those two things brought together. You know, Timothy, you know all about my teaching, and you've seen my way of life. And that is the way we help one another grow. The point of what I'm saying this morning is this: love increasing and overflowing means that we will speak God's word into each other's lives, mentor one another, and help each other grow. We will not shrink back from this task or say it's a task for someone else. Colossians 3:16 is directed to all of us. Let the word of Christ dwell on you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And this is part of what love increasing and overflowing means. All disciples are called to be disciple makers. So, this morning, in a very concrete, practical way, the way we can respond to this, the way we can obey what God is saying to us, is to ask the Lord for two kinds of opportunities. One is ask the Lord to give you someone to help grow. Someone you're speaking the word of God into his life or into her life, you're helping that person to grow. You're going to grow, of course, in the process, It'll be mutual. But ask the Lord to give you someone like that, someone you can mentor. Maybe it'll be more than one person. You may start in the family, right, in the home. But helping one another grow is a way of loving one another. And secondly, ask God to give you a person who's not yet a believer. And ask God to help you to speak the word of God into that person's life and to use you to move him or her toward faith. Love increasing and overflowing means helping one another grow. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom.